Gershman said this morning, with this cold, he hopes that at least I have a fire and brimstone sermon. Well, I changed it during the prayer time to fire and brimstone, so I don't think in 16 years I've done one of those. I'm not sure that in the almost 36 years that I've been a minister, I have done one of those. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us, and he was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day and we are being slaughtered like sheep. No! Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is there's a slide that you can put on. During my studies, I majored in, I don't know why, in philosophy. And read very interesting things. Heidegger and Hegel and Kant and all these guys. Joseph Pieper and Peter Fust were contemporaries of Heidegger. They're existentialist philosophers, Christian existentialist philosophers. Very, very good friends. Fust a little older than Joseph Pieper. During the war, 1940, Fust was already very sick with cancer. So sick that he could not speak anymore. He would always just write whatever he wanted to say on a little notebook. In this wartime, Joseph Pieper worked for a military installation, worked somewhere. One evening, as he was working, the air raid sirens went off. And as the sirens went off, of course, people knew what would happen. Planes would come, and thousands of bombs would be dropped. And these bombs would fall wherever they wanted, homes, churches. And he writes that when you heard those air raid sirens go off, the bones would be chilled, kind of like ours this morning a little bit, I think. And you would know that there wouldn't be too much that you could do about this. You could run for bunkers, but sometimes the bunkers didn't even help. So then in that evening, as he heard these air raid sirens go off, middle of the night, he was thinking of his friend, Peter Fust, who was lying in a hospital outside of the city. And he thought, how terrifying this must be that one of those bombs would fall on him and heal him. So in this book called Weistum Dichtum im Sacrament, it's a German book, you can read it at my home if you want. Beautiful, three sections. In the first section of Weistum, which means wisdom, poetry, and sacrament, if we translate that. He writes a whole chapter on this moment when he decided to jump in his car and drive out to Peterfuss because he heard before anyone else, because of where he worked, that this was a false alarm. And he wanted to go tell Peter, relax, it's okay. So he jumps in his car, gets there, and then he writes in this book, and I translate it, so sorry if it doesn't sound that good. This is me from the German a little bit. He says, gets in there, runs up to Peter's room, he says, and I found the patient lying in bed, peaceful and content. I immediately sensed that he didn't really need my good news. I felt a little awkward as I told him the reason for my visit at such a strange time. He made a dismissive gesture with his hand and had something like a smile on his distorted face. And then he picked up his notebook next to his bed and he wrote something on it. When I read his words, I felt a little ashamed, but also amazed, as if I only met this person lying in front of me for the very first time. He wrote, I'm filled with complete confidence and assurance. That's my translation of the German, which says, Ich befinde mich in absoluter Sicherheit. I find myself in absolute certainty. Befind myself in absoluter Sicherheit. So close. I find myself filled with complete confidence and assurance. Thanks, Dad. And I thought, what a beautiful way to start an old year or end an old year and start a new year. As we stand on the threshold of this new year waiting for us, and maybe the question is, of what can we be sure or confident in this new year? What is there that we can have complete, utter confidence of that it's going to be like that? Maybe we can say our health. But you know, that's not true. Because I can be wonderful, healthy today and tomorrow just like that. My health is not that good and it takes me down. We could say, well, maybe we can be very certain of our prosperity. We live in a wonderful, prosperous land, really? Who knows what the money will do tomorrow? What am I talking about? Yeah. What money am I talking about? What happened to our GICs? What can happen to the RRSPs and all the things? I mean, it just takes one little dip and they all fall. I can never be sure of that. I can't build on that. We might say, well, at least I know about my relationships. Really? All of you know how that works. We have these wonderful relationships, and in a moment, it can change. And something that was beautiful can change into something that is painful and hurtful. We can't even be completely sure of our life. I don't know if I'll see the end of 2018. I didn't even know if I'll see the beginning of 2018 as I stand here. It's kind of difficult to say the words that he says. I find myself absolutely sure. But you see, I'm not a negative guy, and I want us to get out of this negative stuff. But that's not how we're going to do here. Against this backdrop, I hear, and there's a slide for this, Ted, I hear this beautiful, beautiful echo of Paul's words when he starts writing Romans chapter 8. You'll know, my brother, Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, he kind of tells us about who we are, and we are sinful, and we are lost, and we are broken, and we are in need of God, and it's kind of a black brush. But when Romans 8 comes, it's this white brush that opens up. I thank God that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when he takes this part of Romans chapter 8, and he just puts the sunlight of God out there, and he says,
this little voice that started speaking. And it just shouts louder and louder that whatever this world might bring, I am convinced that nothing in this world can separate the love of God that He has for me in Christ Jesus. And I hear those words and they shout. Word that Paul uses here is one of the strongest, most beautiful words in the Greek language. Pathos. It comes from its original root, comes from the word pisteo, which means to have faith, to believe. So when he says, I'm convinced, it says, I am so faithfully overwhelmed. There's nothing that can change my mind about this. There's nothing that is not true about this. This is the solid truth. Interesting words. These are apocalyptic words. And when I use the word apocalypse or apocalyptic, most of us think of, oh my goodness, something really bad is going to happen, because those are the words we use of the end time. Now, interestingly enough, the word apokalypto in Greek again means to reveal. That's why the last book of the Bible is called Revelation, because it's Greek, it's called apokalypto. It's the time of the end, but he uses those end time words, and he says, many of us will think of nakedness, famine, sore, death, hunger, all of these things that scare us, all of these things that feel that they can hurt us. And Paul says, I am so close with God. Here's me, here's God, and God's me. And we are so close together that whatever comes, they will never be able to separate me. There's no way they can. They can try their best from the outside. They can try and hurt so much as they can from the outside, and sometimes they do. But if there's one thing that will never change, that will not move one single millimeter, is the fact that even through all of these things, God's love. God's love. Maybe I can take you back to Psalm 24 for the goodness and mercy. Thing that this year, 2018, even if it's the worst, can take this away. And he repeats that in 38. Then in verse 38, he takes on all of these powers, these external powers and authorities, angels and demons. And he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And he gets to a point where it seems like he's kind of out of breath of these things to name. And then he says, and nothing else in all of creation can separate me. And maybe we can take that nothing else and say, add in there whatever you want. What scares you for 2018? If I wanted to put my brother Scott on the spot here, I could say, Scott, what worries you about the school? Don't want to talk about it. What worries you about the ministry that you're doing in this church? What scares you about that? What is the stuff, Bradley, that worries you about the music ministry that we need to do? What are the things that make me lie awake at night? Anything! And all I have to say to all of these things, and they will come, because there's only one thing that we can be certain of, and that's that there's nothing that we can be certain of. Anything that this world can bring in 2018. one thing I ask of you, that I may dwell. But you see, my friends, this assurance is not found in ourselves. This assurance is not found in our emotions, because emotions do this. But God's love does not do this. God's love does this. Whether the days are good, God loves me. Whether the days are bad, God loves me. I always tell the young folks when they come from marriage, that love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. God's love is not a feeling, it's an act of his will. I will send my son. My son will die for you. My son rose from the dead. My son sits at my right hand, and my son pleads for you, and I love you, and I will always love you, even when in your emotional circumstances it doesn't feel all that good. Nothing takes my love away from you. Look at these verses again, Ted, if you can remember. Verse 32, 34, when Paul says, God did not even spare his own son. He gave him up. Jesus died, more than just dying. He was raised to life and sits at the right hand of God and plays on the earth. Our confidence is in the birth, the life, the suffering, the death, the resurrection, and the life of Jesus. So when you sit in your little boat and the storms of life come and the little boat is rocked, it feels like sometimes the little boat wants to sink. Take the anchor and throw the anchor out. Leave it in the boat. Throw the anchor into the sea of God's love. Will 2018 have difficult days? I bet you. Will there be struggles in 2018? I bet you. Are we going to have amazing days in 2018?